The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. I wonder how often we stop, as it were, to lift up our eyes. Some of us will have busy lives, we'll be taken up doing our thing. We have responsibilities, perhaps, which preoccupy us, and we don't often get the opportunity to stop and reflect. We just get on with what we're doing. Well, Remembrance Sunday might be a good day to pause and take stock, to lift up our eyes, to ask what life is really all about, to think about what it all means and where it's all going. What is the bigger picture? What really matters? What might the future hold? Lift up your eyes. It seems that when the psalmist lifts up his eyes and looks to the hills, he sees some kind of trouble there. Perhaps you can imagine the scene, an ancient city in the valley. The psalmist looks up to the horizon, and coming over the hill, he sees, perhaps picked out against the dawn, a few enemy horsemen. Or a crowd of dust that turns into a vast, hostile army coming to destroy his city. I wonder what you see on the horizon of your life. Of course, none of us can know the future. There'll be all sorts of things, I imagine, both good and bad. But we'd be foolish to expect a perfect, blissful, trouble-free future. And maybe there are worries on the horizons of our life that are all too obvious to us. Perhaps financial worries or job insecurity or the fear of loneliness or ill health or old age. I don't want to depress you, but what is on the crest of the hill? And if we lift our eyes beyond our own situation, again, there's much good in the world, of course. But it has its fair share of trouble, doesn't it? Sometimes after a war there's a bright hope of peace, but those hopes are often dashed. With the benefit of hindsight, we can see that the Great War wasn't the war to end all wars. Neither the League of Nations nor the United Nations could bring peace. No doubt the threats that we face have changed. Perhaps we don't lie awake at night anymore worrying about nuclear Armageddon, as perhaps some of us once did. But we fear weapons of mass destruction falling into the wrong hands. We might not expect Soviet tanks to come sweeping across Europe, but we're worried about unattended baggage on the underground. The psalmist looks to the hills, sees trouble on the horizon, and says, where does my help come from? Well, where does your help come from? Where will it come from? If you face troubles, where will you look? How will you cope with what life might throw at you? Who or what are you going to rely on in the face of an uncertain future that will certainly include trouble? Maybe some of us are facing a crisis now. Almost certainly we will at some stage in the future. How will we react? Well, the psalmist knows that he needs help. And if we're honest, we know that from time to time and in different ways, we will need help too. None of us are really, in the fullest sense, self-made or self-sufficient. My mother's here today, and it feels like my mum often used to say to me, you're young enough to know everything, you are. Well, perhaps as we grow older we realise that we don't have all the answers. It's part of the foolishness of youth sometimes to think that we're indestructible. And today of all days, when we think of the many young people who've given their lives in war, we realise that none of us are indestructible, none of us are invincible. Even the brave, the young, and the strong can easily be cut down in their prime. Real courage includes recognizing our weakness and knowing our need of help. I can't pretend to know anything about military life, but I'm going to try. Soldiers know this, don't they? They know that they need to rely on their comrades. A soldier who thinks he's completely self-sufficient and self-reliant is no doubt a dangerous liability to his platoon. Where does your help come from? Well, the psalmist says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." All other help is uncertain. Many people will be a real and legitimate help to us in our lives, but even the best of people will let us down. It's the wonderful good news of our psalm that God himself, the maker of heaven and earth, should undertake to be his people's helper. Whatever problems we might see on the horizon, God is bigger. Whatever comes over that hill, God can cope with it. Almighty God himself is on the side of all who will put their trust in him, and nothing can surprise or overwhelm him. It's not that God promises to take our troubles away, but he promises to be with us in them and bring us through them. Trusting in God, we will experience no ultimate, final harm. Think of how that psalm ended. This is a promise both for now and forevermore. Remember the famous words of Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yes, I've still got to go through that valley, but I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Like our psalm, Psalm 23 ends with a note of eternal confidence. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In our gospel reading, we find a man in trouble, a man who knows that he needs help. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Now, no doubt this centurion was a capable, competent, confident man. He was a leader of men, respected, successful, used to exercising command and taking responsibility. And yet he is willing to admit that here's something he can't deal with. He knows he needs help, and he does the right thing. He brings his need to Jesus. I wonder, are we willing to admit that we need help? And are we willing to bring our need to Jesus? The centurion knows that he has no claim on Jesus. He doesn't deserve his help. He says, "Lord, I don't even deserve you to come under my roof." But Jesus never turned anyone away who came to him asking for help. Jesus would help you and me if we would come to him. He is willing and able to meet this man's need. It's in Jesus that he finds the help he needs. And in fact, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Here, the gospel reading and the psalm tie up. Jesus is God the Son, God himself come in the flesh. Just as God spoke and created the world, so Jesus is able to say the word and do his work of new creation. I imagine that if Her Majesty the Queen is walking around Buckingham Palace and she sees a blocked drain, she doesn't get out her dino rod set. She says, "Let that drain be unblocked." And it is. She's a powerful person. She just has to speak the word and it happens. Well, so it is with the Lord Jesus. He simply has to say, "Let there be light," and the world springs into being. He simply has to say, "Go, your servant will be cured," and it happens. Jesus' word is powerful. Our world is spoiled by sin, but Jesus is able to put it right. Jesus is stronger than all the forces that stand against us. Jesus is able to take the curse which lies over our sinful world and exhaust it. Did you notice in our gospel reading that Jesus is even able to heal, as it were, by remote control and distance? He doesn't even need to go to the centurion's house. Which, of course, is good news for us. Jesus isn't here physically, but his transforming power can still be effective in our lives. Jesus warns us that one day we will face the crisis of God's judgment. That's the ultimate horizon of our lives and of all human history. There will be a day of reckoning when God puts wrongs right. And on that day, it's faith in Jesus which will save us from everlasting trouble. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from east and west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That is the big picture. That's where history is heading. We may face all kinds of trouble in our life, but there is a great future in store for all who will pin their hopes on Jesus. Come to him for help. Depend on him. Take him at his word, and at last he will welcome you to a feast with him in the kingdom of heaven. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. May God enable us to put our trust in Jesus Christ, who is ready and willing to help all who will come to him with their need. For his great name's sake. Amen.